Good morning, everybody. Trust you all are well. Let's get used to preaching with this mic. That sounds good. Can you all hear me? All right, great. So I'm just thinking of coming out of a time of worship like this and going into the message, and I'm just thinking of since the start of the prayer meeting, how God's just been in all of this, and preaching on the message that I'm preaching on today, the little ones are having a lesson around the area of the walls of Jericho. And today I'm going to be preaching out of Nehemiah, where there's a restoration of the broken walls of Jerusalem. So God is definitely on the move here. God is definitely doing something, and I trust that your hearts and minds are open this morning. Just before I jump into the message, just a quick Bible quiz. Just want to do a test and see who all of you knows your word very well. So I'm going to just pose three questions. If you know the answer quickly, just put up your hand. Who was the best female financial advisor in the Bible? Sorry. Unfortunately not. The answer is Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the river and drew out a little prophet. All right? Okay. Who was the best male financial advisor in the Bible? Noah. He kept his stock afloat while everybody else was in liquidation. All right. And then the last one. Who was the shortest man in the Bible? There's a clue here. Nehemiah. All right. So I'm sharing out of Nehemiah this morning. And so I really trust that you all are awake and your hearts are opened and prepared. And so I want to start off. So Nehemiah is in the Old Testament, together with the books of Ezra and Esther. And Ezra was just before Nehemiah, and Ezra actually was a priest that went and he restored worship to the temple in Jerusalem. The walls were broken, the temple was rebuilt, and he actually went and restored the worship of God in the temple. And then Nehemiah came afterwards, and the book of Nehemiah is around the area of the restoration of the walls of Jericho. And so it's about the rebuilding of, Jerusalem. I'm thinking about the next gen. Got to get my head out of it. So it's about the restoration, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. But it's more than that. It's also around the area that there's a restoration of the people of God. There's a restoration for the people of God to God. So it's not just about walls that's being rebuilt. It's about a people that is restored to God and what God wants them to do. And Jerusalem is also a picture in the Old Testament where God wanted to dwell amongst his people. And so God said to David to build a temple in Jerusalem so that he can dwell among his people. That is the Old Testament picture. The New Testament picture, Paul says, Christ in you, the glory of hope. So we are the temple that God wants to, Jesus wants to come and he wants to dwell in us and he wants to change us and he wants to restore us. And I hope that your hearts are open this morning as we look at this. And Jerusalem in ruins is therefore a picture of a life that has lost its defense against the enemy. So it's broken walls. When your walls are broken, everything's open to attack. And you're defenseless, and there's nothing to keep the enemy from attacking. And it's crazy. If you switch on the television, every time you switch on the TV, you see people whose walls have been broken down, and whose lives have been opened to that. We're exposed to that on a daily basis. And the book of Nehemiah depicts the way of recovery from a breakdown of ruin and condition to a condition of peace, to a security, to restoration, and where God wants to use us. And so just a quick question. Who of you in the beginning of this year made New Year's resolutions? I see a couple of hands. Right, there's a couple of hands. So a lot of people go and they make New Year's resolutions, they say, but the reason why I'm doing this is because I've failed previously, or I want to achieve something, and so I'm going to make this New Year's resolution because I want to do this, and I don't want to happen what happened in the past, and I want a way out of this. And then what happens by the end of January? Who completed? Who's like holding up to that New Year's resolution that they... I see Vaughan's hand is up. It's because he's so tall and strong, strong in spirit. So a lot of people... after a couple of weeks, they just went back into the old ways. That's too hard. It's too difficult. And the only reason for that is because we don't make God a vital part of that process, of that restoration, of that thing that we want to achieve. We think that we can do it without God. Oftentimes in my life, I go about things and not including God. And I think I'm going to do this. And then when it goes pear-shaped, I realize I never made God a key component of this process, of this thing that I want to do. And so people go about their lives and they think they can do things on their own. But the book of Nehemiah is a picture of that with God, we can accomplish what we want to do. And God needs to be the key in that. Are you all still with me? All right, so we're going to look at that. So it's actually with God's help that we can change ourselves and recover from the damage and the ruin of the past. So if you can go to Nehemiah, that slide, Nehemiah 1. And if you can go to the next slide first, please. Nehemiah 1, verses 1 to 3. And so it says there, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, some of you can help me with the pronunciations of the names here, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And listen to this. It says, they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. They're in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And so we see here, they bring the message that the people are in trouble. The walls are broken down. The people are in distress and the gates have been burned down. So what does that walls look like for us in our lives? What does that depict in our lives? Maybe there is sin in our past. And there's areas of sin that we're just struggling to. We've gotten so used to doing things a certain way, which is actually causing us to stumble and to sin. And those walls are broken down. And because we do it so much that we get used to it, we think it's okay. But actually the walls are broken down. There's no resistance. We are open to the attack of the enemy. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning and I'm just asking God to start to show us what are those broken walls? What are those areas of ruin that needs to be restored? And for some, it might be wrongful sexual practices that the Bible say is sin. For some, it might be pornography. It's a big thing in our day and age. Men and women get caught up in this thing and it just breaks down their walls. It destroys them. And there's hurt and there's anger, there's resentment. Maybe it's having an addiction to drugs or something that's not beneficial to your body. An addiction to drugs, alcohol. But not only that, that's physical stuff. What about a complaining spirit? A negative complaining spirit. I've met a couple of people And they just, when you see them, that's so part of their life. When you see, I don't even want to ask, how's it going? Because it's just, it doesn't stop. It's complain about this, complain about that. They're so used to that, that they think that that's okay. That's part of who they are. And so for us, there's different things. And it leaves our walls broken, and it's open. And so I really sense and feel that God wants to come and restore today. So as we're sitting here, I really trust that God is speaking to you. He's showing that area of your past. Maybe some of your walls has gone up, but there's bricks out. And some of those bricks needs to be restored, put back in place, because that one hole will leave a foothold for the enemy to come and destroy and break down that part of the wall again. And then it speaks about the gates have been burned down. The gates have been burned with fire. Now, gates is a picture of a way in and out. And for us, it's a way, it's the way that people get to know, really get to know us, who we really are. And some people may have been victim to abuse of the past, may have been victim of divorce, hurt. And so there's hurt in the past, and there's anger, and there's resentment. And my heart goes out for you today. I really, as I've been praying this week, I really sense this morning there's people that has parts in their life that they keep quiet about it. Their gates are burned down. There's no access to them. You don't allow anybody in. You don't tell you there's this deep secret part of your life that you just hide away. And the outside, you look like nothing is wrong. You look like everything is okay. You look like you're keeping strong, but on the inside, there's brokenness and despair. And there's a sensitivity in that area that you don't want anybody to come close to. And I feel God wants to restore you today. He wants your gates to be fixed. He wants your walls to be rebuilt. And He wants to restore you. Amen? So how do we do that? How do we go about doing that? So there's this great men and women of the past that has been through exactly these things. Physical things, spiritual things. And we can go back in the Word of God, and God will show us. He will show us what to do. And as men and women, as we're going to see today in the book of Nehemiah, there's practical points that we can take out of the book about that restoration of the wall, the rebuilding of the wall, and restoration of a people back to God, to His rightful place. And so, we want to go and look at the steps that Nehemiah took and the people of that time took. And I want to encourage you to take notes. There's a couple of points, but take notes and go through the week and go and pray about it. Go and ask God to show you what are the areas in your life that you need to give attention to. And so, the first one is, he faced the facts and had a deep sense of concern. Just go over to the next verse, please, if you go over to the next slide. Verses 4 said, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He had a deep sense of concern, but he had to face the facts. He had to go and see what are the areas that I need to give an attention to. And what are the areas that I need to be sensitive to? And he goes and he says in that verse, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed. There's nothing superficial about this. God wants us to come before him and be honest. God speaks about a contrite heart. A broken spirit and a contrite heart is always welcome to God. And this morning, we've throughout the worship and the words that came, that God wants us to come before him and open up before him. Just through all the songs, I was like, how do I fit this song into the message? Because there's so much power in the songs that we sang this morning. But God wants us to come before Him. He also looked at other people, and His heart broke for them. He went before God, and His heart broke for them. Yesterday, I went to Office National. I came back, and I got to a robot, and the robot just in green, there was a couple of cars. My window was open. There was a lady and her father in the car next to me, and the door, and their window was open, and I just heard crying and screaming, and this lady said, your window's open. And while the car was moving, the dad wanted to jump. He was crying like a deep sore, and I just, my heart broke for them. I almost cried, and I said, God, what happened in their lives that they are in this situation, that the father actually wants to jump out of the car? And my heart just broke for them. I had a concern for them. And we must be like that. We must have a concern for ourselves and for other people. In our body, if you see people are struggling, and there must be a deep sense, and we must go before God and we must pray for them. All right. The second point, if you go into the slide, he recognized the character of God. And the scripture there, is from verses 5, says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His command. Let your ear be attentive to and your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant. He's praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. He recognized the character of God. This morning we sang about the character of God. And we come, and when we do that, we recognize for God who He really is. Because only God has the power to help us through what we're facing. And so that's a very good place to start. Recognize the character of God, of who He is. And then he repented of all sins. Listen to the scripture. He says, I confess the sins we, Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you have gave your servant Moses. So he repented. That's a very key part of the restoration of those broken walls, is to come before God and say, God, I repent of this sin that I'm entertaining in my life. It's a very key part. He didn't blame other people. He didn't say, did you see those Israelites, the guys over there, they sinned, and he didn't blame anybody else. He repented, he included himself. He said, we. And in your life, maybe somebody sinned against you. And there's anger and resentment and bitterness. And in that, you've got to go before God and ask Him to forgive them. Because in that also sometimes that causes us into a place of sin where there's anger, bitterness, and resentment, and it keeps us back. And there needs to be a release to say, God, I forgive them. But God, also forgive me. And that's a good place to start. Confess our sins. The next one, he requested help to begin the process. Nehemiah 1 verses 10 says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. This man he's speaking about, answers in the next one, he says, I was a cupbearer to the king. So he's speaking about the king. He says, grant me favor in the presence of this man. And he actually went to him and said, God, I need your help in this. And that was a big task, you know. He was speaking to the king of Persia, and to actually to convince him that he must let you go and do what you want to do, that might actually go against what the king wants to do. When you go and read the account of what happened there, you will see that only with God's help he could go and restore those walls and start the rebuilding. And so that's a very good place to start. Request specific help to begin the process. No matter what the ruin of any life may be, there's always a place to start. There's a place where we need to begin. And we need to begin by asking the right questions and asking God, God, please help me through this. For some of us, it might also mean that we need to seek advice and seek help and seek counsel. And so there's leaders in the church that God have placed there that will be able to help you. So whatever that area is, go to one of the leaders and say, first go before God, and then go to one of these and say, listen, I need guidance here. I need help. Is that all right? Okay. The next one is honestly assess what needs to be done. The scripture there is out of Nehemiah 2, verses 5. It says, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild. And when you go and read of that account, he actually prepared beforehand. He knew what he was going to need. He did an honest assessment of what he needs to do to go and start the rebuilding process. And so for us, we need to go before God and say, God, I recognize these areas in my life. Go and assess exactly what you need to start that journey to restore those broken walls. And whatever that might mean for us is to go and seek help. That's why God has placed us in a family, in a church. It might involve changing your habits, those habits that is leading you down the wrong path. We are filled with media all around us, on the phones, on the TV, on the computers, on the billboards, that makes us think that, these things are okay. But it actually goes against the Word of God. And so sometimes for us that means that we need to go and assess the areas that we need to give attention to and need to change. And then the next one, a very key one. He had unexpected help. Chapter 2, verses 9 says, the king had also sent an army of officers and cavalry with me. And so this is actually amazing. Not only did the king allow him to go, he said, I'm going to send you with help to go and do what you need to do. So he actually had the king of Persia behind him to go, and because he had to go through certain towns and they just don't allow you to go through. He needed permission to go through to get where he needed to go. And for us, if we start the rebuilding process, and we do an honest assessment and say, God, I want to rebuild. I want to be a place where you want me to be. You will get unexpected help. We've got the kingdom of heaven behind us. We don't have a kingdom of a person. We've got the kingdom of heaven behind us. And there's nothing that you can't achieve when God is with you. He will help you, as we see in this case. It's very key. We need to be open and aware of the different ways that God wants to help us. Sometimes we don't see the ways that God is helping us and we take it for granted. And when I look back on my life, there's many a times where I can see where God's hand moved and where he has helped us. And we need to recognize it. We need to know when God is helping us. And then the next one is a big one. Stand up to the enemy. Stand up to the enemy. Chapter 2, verses 20 says, I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. The men who opposed the rebuilding of the wall stood outside of the covenant of God. There was men standing on the other side while they were rebuilding, and they were against them. They were trying to stop them. But he knew that God is with him. And that's why he could stand up and clench his fist and say, God is with us. You are not going to stop us. And if you go and read the account, what they did is they first mocked them. And maybe for us in the past, or wherever you're sitting today, maybe you've got friends that is mocking you. Because your habits are changing. The way that you, I remember when I became a Christ follower, I had friends that say, hey, what's this? You stopped swearing. And they started mocking me. They made jokes about it. But I didn't give in. I stood firm because I knew what God wanted to do. So that's one of the first things that they will do. The other thing they will do, they began to threaten and to slander. If you go and look at throughout the Bible, that's what the enemy does. He will threaten you because he don't want you to succeed and to rebuild your walls and to get back to a place of restoration. But Jesus came to restore God's property to him and to lose the hold of the enemy upon our lives. And so this morning you may be sitting here and you're recognizing those areas. Friends, you need to know that Jesus, when he went to the cross, those sins that we are sitting with, those things, those brokenness, Jesus went and he took that to the cross. And he overcome that. And we can stand up and say to the enemy, you've got no foothold in my life. Jesus overcame that. And I'm going to stand up against that. Because I've got the kingdom of heaven behind me. You all still good? All right. And then a very key one for us, I've put the two points together. We need each other and we need to work together. And the scriptures there, if you go into the next slide, is Nehemiah 3 verses 2. It says, the men of Jericho built the adjoining section and Zaccur, son of Imri, built next to them. And then 29, it says, next to them, Zadok, son of Imer, made repairs opposite his house. Next to him, Shemaiah, son of Shekaniah, and the guard at the east gate made repairs. So if you go and read that chapter, you'll see this all throughout the chapter. This one next to that one. That one was working together with this one. And this one was working opposite his house. And so there's a thing that the world wants to get us into today. And there's it's two things. The first one is, I don't need you. And the second one is, you don't need me. But that's not what the Word of God says. Because in the kingdom of God, we need each other. We can't do this on our own. If the enemy keeps you one side and separate, you're a target. You're alone, you're a target, he will destroy you. That's what lions do. They separate, they prey from the flock, and when it's alone, they attack and they destroy. And the enemy wants to do that. We do need each other. I need you, and you need me. We do need each other. The other thing is they were strategically placed. And you need to know that where you are today, you must recognize that God has placed you where you are today for a reason. Because some of us think, oh, I wish I could be there. Oh, I wish I could be in another country. Or I wish I lived in another time. God has strategically placed us where we are today because he wants to do something in and through us. And so each and every single one of us in our work area, in our homes, in our friendship influence, God has placed us there because he's got a purpose for us and he wants to use us. And actually, we can't sit back and do nothing. When you go and read the account, there was one tribe that didn't do nothing. And their names were recorded. And I was thinking, sure, that's interesting. God actually records your name if you're lazy and you don't operate in what he wants you to operate. And so each and every single one of us has got a purpose. And so don't apologize for where God has placed you. In your workplace, you could go and say, maybe you don't want to be at your work. And say, God, at this time I'm here, and I'm not doing this for the boss. I'm doing it to glorify you. Please use me. And so as you change and things start to change in your life, people will see it. You'll be a testimony, a living testimony for Jesus. As your walls are being rebuilt and your gates are being fixed up, you'll be a testimony. Amen? And then lastly, be grateful for victories, but never become complacent. In Nehemiah 6, verses 15, it says, so the wall was completed. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized there's this work had been done with the help of God. Friends, today, as I'm standing here, I'm telling you, there's lots of you that have had many victories. Maybe you haven't had victories, and I can promise you, if you follow these steps, if you go and read the book of Nehemiah, what happened there, you will have victories. And you're going to overcome. And you're going to be set free. Because that's what happened to me. I've had many victories in my life, in my family, as a husband, as a father, as a businessman. I have many victories. I've got many testimonies. But I can't become complacent. When you've got victory, celebrate. We must celebrate. And then we stand firm. The enemy wants you to think that, one day I'm gonna retire. And I'm just going to sit back and relax and do nothing. Friends, we don't sit back and relax and do nothing until we go to be with Jesus. Because if he can render us useless before that, he had victory. So never become complacent. And God wants us to be in a place where we are restored. Jesus came to restore us back to Jesus. And so I want to ask you this morning, that if you've written down these steps, I want you to go home and continue to pray in these areas and ask God to show you in these areas that you need help. If your gates have been burned down, we want to pray this morning for you for restoration. And so why don't we all stand? So maybe we can just close our eyes. And if you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Jesus and say, Jesus, I heard the message this morning and my life is in ruins. My walls are broken down. And I'm open to the attack of the enemy. But I've heard the message this morning. And I wanna be restored to you, Jesus, this morning. I want you to come and be Savior of my life. And I just want Tian to share what he came and share this morning with me around this. If you can just
as a picture for us, I saw a school bus driving down, almost like a pickup point. And I saw a family standing in front of this bus, and the whole family went into this bus. So the bus driver opened it, and the family went in. But there was a man that stayed behind and just looking at his family go in. And the the bus doors close and it went about another 2 meters, 3 meters, and the bus stops abruptly and just slowly the door opens again and says, are you going to come in or should I drive along? And I felt the bus driver was Jesus, and I felt for us there's the opportunity to not be left behind. There's an opportunity to go with. This might actually be a final call for some. The opportunity can maybe never arise again. And I felt there was almost like a finality for someone this morning. Like that God wants to bring, you know, the time has finally come for you to make your choice. And that God wants to bring radical change to your life. Nothing less. It will be radical. It will bring change. But that's the exciting part. And He's calling you to follow Him. That choice is yours. And I pray that you make that the right choice this morning. Because the call is there. God is inviting you. He's gently inviting you to come this morning.
So that if that is you this morning, we would love to pray with you and for you. And so with our heads bowed, if you can just raise your hand, if that is you this morning and you want to make, say, God, I want to get on that bus. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. All right. Yes, Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We heard the message this morning about broken walls. And Father, I want to pray for everybody here this morning, Lord. If you've shown us areas where our walls have been broken down, Father, and we heard the message this morning, we take those steps, Lord, that there'll be restoration, Father. There'll be restoration in these areas, Lord, whether it's pornography, alcohol abuse, addiction, whatever it might be, Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus that you will come and break it and bring a full restoration. Maybe you're here this morning and your gates have been burned. You've been hurt and there's no access to you. And you're in a lonely place. If that is you this morning, I really sense that God wants to come and restore those broken gates. And we heard the morning the message that we need each other. And so that is you. If you want to come to the front, we would really love to pray for you. If there's anybody here this morning, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that restores. That if we come to you, we recognize you for who you are. We come before you and we repent, Father. And we ask for your help. And we stand firm against the enemy. That you will restore us, Lord. And so, Father, I just thank you for this time this morning. I pray that the power of your word will continue to work in our hearts, change our hearts, and change our minds. In your precious name, we pray that. Amen. Sure. The leaders just can pray for them.